Good morning.
Good morning.
Another beautiful day the Lord has blessed us with. His mercies still remain new, and we give thanks to Him for that today and every day, especially on this special day, Confirmation Day, for these three young people. They're excited about it because confirmation means that's the end of their study of the Word of God. It's not, right? Confirmation is just another stepping stone in our lifelong journey studying the Word of God, staying connected to God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the Holy Spirit uses the Word which brought them to faith to keep them in faith. And so we celebrate that today as they make a public confession of their faith in Jesus as their Savior. Again, confirmation for each and every one of us, again, is just another part in our relationship with Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean the end, but the beginning of another stage of life. Because we know, with every stage of life, but especially teenage years, come with challenges. Challenges to our faith, and those challenges are becoming more intense. No doubt about that. And the more intense those challenges are, the more intense we need to be about our staying connected to the Word of our Lord. And this is where parents and also then the church comes in to help these young people stay connected to Jesus all life long. So we celebrate today. I invite your attention to the invocation on the middle of page 3. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care.
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord.
Let us worship Him.
See page 7 for our hymn, Blessed Are They. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him.
This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
On this special day,
a reading from Holy Scripture from 1 Peter, the second chapter, reminding us of the fact that it is God's mercy that has brought us into a relationship with him. And with that relationship comes purpose in this life. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next song, "My Worth Is Not in What I Own," is found for us on page 8. We, the congregation, will join the vocalists on the refrains following verses 4 and 5.
Thank you.
is the hot seat. None of them, right? They're ready for this.
So we turn our attention to the main reason why we are gathered here today. An opportunity for these young people, as we said, to share what they have learned about God's Word through a study of the Bible by way of using what we call Luther's Small Catechism. What they have learned, along with what they share, impacts our day-to-day living in this world as God provides answers to key questions about this life. So first of all, before we get to the question and answer part, just a reminder, again, the author of the book that we use to help study the Bible in question and answer format is Martin Luther, who was born in Eisleben, Germany in 1483. Again, you may recall his father wanted him to take on what profession? Anyone? A lawyer, right? Luther was gifted, but through an experience in his life, he ended up entering the monastery. It was there that he sought peace with God and wrestled with that. How do I come to peace with God? He tried to have peace man's way, good works, denial of earthly goods, and some other ways which put the focus of getting right with God on what we have to do. And anytime we put the emphasis on what we have to do, we're not going to find that contentment and that peace that we truly are searching for and that we need. And it was by God's gift that he put people in place so that Luther could learn grace. So that he could learn salvation, God's way. So he could learn more about God, who he is, our creator, our redeemer, our sanctifier, the triune God. And so having the light to go on, so to speak, Luther wanted to help others, especially his own children, learn the truth from God's word. And so we use this format because education was not what we might think it was. People were educated, but it wasn't for everybody. And the church really wasn't as organized with their education system. And so thus the catechism serves that purpose, that chief purpose to lead us to know and believe that the only way of salvation is by faith in Jesus. Which fits in, and the Gospel of John at the end, he writes that these are written, everything in the Bible about Jesus, that we may get to know who he is, and by getting to know who he is and believing in him, have life in his name. And so with Luther, who has the primary responsibilities to teach children these precious truths about the way of salvation? And you say? Parents. You see, they thought they were getting questions, actually. You're getting the questions. How's that working so far, right? All right, so the catechism is divided to help parents do that in six chief parts. We won't make you rattle off those chief parts, but again, right, the commandments, the creed, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the keys, the ministry of the keys, confession and absolution, and then the Lord's Prayer. And as Jesus emphasized through the Apostle Paul in Timothy, the importance of the Scriptures from little on. Now from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And so the Lord has given us the Bible, which has stood the test of time. Two major parts make up the Bible, the Old and New Testament. Both focus on Christ. And both parts, Old and New, have the two major teachings, which are law and gospel. And so what are we not to do with the law and the gospel? You want a bonus question? What are we going to have to do with it?
Study. I've got to be like, what are you supposed to do with it? Yeah, not bad.
That's a bonus question. Check. Good. All right. Not only then does the Bible have these two main parts and these two main teachings, which we're not to add, subtract, or change, where can we find the law in addition to the written law? In our heart, right? I mean, that's why people by nature know that stealing is wrong, murder is wrong, and so forth. God has instilled that law in our heart, and he's given us a conscience to testify to that law. But what do we do with the law? Speed limit's 55? That's for somebody else. But the written law reminds us, no, that is for us to live. And as we as a society live the law, what happens? We have a non-chaotic society, something that we'd like to have. But because we break the law, we need the law to point out where we break it. But just following the law is not proper motive. Thus, the gospel. At the heart of the gospel is Christ. And so then that leads to the next set of questions which these young people have prepared for. All right, David, where can the gospel in a nutshell be found in the Bible?
In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16.
Okay, can you recite the passage?
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life.
All right, thank you. And notice he did not use the prompter. He had it, but he knew it. Jonah, Romans 6:23 tells us why we need this Savior that God has sent. What reason does this passage give us?
The wages of sin is death.
All right, the wages of sin is death, yep. All right, Kylie, the first commandment sets the tone for the other nine. What does that first commandment say along with its meaning?
That we shall have no other gods and trust in God above all things.
Okay. And so there's three important elements to that, right? Fear, not be afraid of, but respect. Love him above all things and trust in him. Great. Kylie, again, to help us focus on the life of Christ regularly, the church calendar year is divided into these sections. Can you name them?
Do I have to name them in order?
It preferred, but you can...
What's the first one?
Big C. December.
Christmas. Epiphany.
Okay.
Advent.
Okay. Yep.
Lent.
What comes after Lent? Empty. An empty place.
Ascension.
Before that? The tomb is empty is, did you say it? Lent and the big E.
The what?
The big E.
What am I forgetting?
Did you say it? Easter?
Oh, no, Easter, yeah.
Easter, very good. All right. And then
Ascension,
right? And there's another one in there, starts with a P.
Pentecost.
That's good. I know, nerves, all right. But again, it's designed, right? Our church here, right, is designed to get us through the life of Christ and the work of Christ and what that means for us, because we have been called to be God's own and we live a purpose. And so the church here then helps, reminds us of what that purpose is, provides us with the motive to continually put that purpose into practice. All right, so it happens we have a tendency to forget what God has said through the commandments. We remember that there are 10 first given to Moses on two stone tablets. But more important than the number is what they have to say. To help refresh our memories then with this best summary of God's law, we'll take the time to review what each one is about briefly. Now, as you do this, we ask ourselves, how have we been guilty of breaking or going against what our God has commanded? Even with our thoughts, we can be guilty of sinning against God's commands, against God and also one another. And so upon a reflection of our sins, past and present, we can only cry out, Lord, have mercy on us, a sinner. All right, David. What does the first commandment talk about?
That we should have no other gods.
Okay. And so there's a word that we use, too, that talks about God's...
Jealousy?
No. He is a jealous God, but also God's... starts with a G, remember? God's...
Glory.
Glory, right? And so is there room for other gods?
No.
No, exclamation point, right? Jonah, what does the second commandment talk about?
God's name.
God's name. And how is God's name to be kept?
God's name is to be kept holy.
All right, to be kept holy, right? Kylie, what does the third commandment talk about?
God's word.
Okay, and what are we to do with God's word?
Keep it holy.
Keep it holy. How do we do that? Because remember what the meaning says? What are we to do with it?
Hear and obey it.
Yeah, hear and obey it, right? Listen to it. The book of James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says, right? It's kind of like instructions when you put that shelf together. If you don't follow the instructions and you got 10 bolts left over, don't use that shelf, right? Kylie, fourth commandment. What does the fourth commandment talk about?
God's representatives.
How are we to treat those representatives?
With respect.
And what else?
And love.
Love, right? Love, honor, respect them. All right, David, what does the fifth commandment talk about? God's gift of what?
God's gift of possessions.
Not quite. Starts with an L.
Life.
Life, right? Why is one's life important?
Because we only get one.
We only get one, right? And so we call it our time of
grace.
Grace, right? It's our time to come to faith through the means of grace. And so that's why God wants us to take all life in the womb and outside of the womb very seriously, because he wants people to come to faith. All right, David, you're up again. What does the sixth commandment talk about? God's gift of?
Possessions.
Not yet.
Not that one yet.
It starts with an M.
Marriage.
Marriage, right? All right. Life and marriage, what do they have in common? Possessions, right? Does this commandment only speak to married people?
No.
No, right? God wants us all to keep in mind what his will is for all people, especially when it comes to this gift of marriage and what's intended for marriage. All right, Jonah, what does the seventh commandment talk about?
God's gift of possessions.
There we go. How are we to treat our neighbor's possessions?
Respectfully.
Respectfully. What else can we do? How do we show respect for someone's possessions?
We help them.
Beautiful. Right? Help them, protect them, help them take care of those possessions, right? So we have a responsibility not just for ourselves, but also our neighbors. Kylie, what does the eighth commandment talk about? God's gift of a what? Think of social media, think of two people.
Reputation.
Reputation, right? God's gift of a good name. So how are we to treat and speak to others?
With love and respect.
All right, love and respect. Those are awesome words. Is there another way that you can put it too? Remember?
Kindly.
Kindly, right? You know, how do we want to be treated and talked to? That's how we would need to treat and speak with others, right? Putting the best construction on things. Too often, right, we fly off the handle because we put the worst construction on it first, but better to take the best construction until we find out otherwise. And still, then, we want to be kind and compassionate. Kylie, again, what do the ninth and tenth commandments talk about?
Coveting.
Coveting, right? Yeah, God's holy desires. And how does this commandment differ, then, from the seventh commandment about possessions?
Coveting is like of the heart, and like stealing is an action.
Good, right? So, because again, as James points out, sin starts in the heart, right? And if it's not curbed, it will show itself in action. So they go together. So the holy desires, which then covers all the commandments too, when it comes to protecting reputation and everything else. So even our thoughts are to be pure. Maybe call the Apostle Paul in Romans saying, I would not have known that coveting was a sin unless the Lord said, do not covet. So again, we see our need for repentance, for contrition as we look at our thoughts and our words and our actions. All right, David. What do we call the sin all people have from the point of conception until death?
The old Adam.
The old Adam. Okay, can you think of other terms as well? Either starts with an O or an I. If something's... it's not the fake, but it's the... Like a painting is not the fake, but it's the...
Origin?
Original, right? Okay, or inherited, right? Original or inherited sin. We get that from our parents, not to be used as an excuse, but explains why sin continues through each generation. So that old Adam, as we talk about, is a good swimmer. Jonah, how does God want us to keep his commandments?
Perfectly.
Perfectly, right? Without flaw. But then we see that we don't always do that. So back to David. What will we want to do for God because of his love for us?
We'll want to trust him, fear him, and love him.
Okay, right, so fear, love, trust, and obey, right? That's all part of that. We want to obey him above all things. And so when he tells us to love God and our neighbor, we want to show our love for him by following his law, out of the love of Christ that he has shown to us as well. Jonah, Psalm 50, verse 15, tells us what we are to do with God's name, especially when we are in trouble. What does that passage tell us?
The passage tells us that if we are in need of help, we can call upon his name and he will help us.
All right, call upon his name, right? Take the Lord in prayer, trusting that he knows what the situation is. He will hear us. He answers us as he knows best for us. And Kylie, what does the gospel teach us?
Why we need Jesus and how we get him.
Okay, why we need Jesus and how we get Jesus. And thus, that then becomes the motivation to put that law, which we looked at, into practice. The love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but for him who died and rose again. Imagine if we all put that into practice consistently. Again, what society we would have, what church we would have. And we want that for our churches and for our society. And so who does God put in place to kind of start the ball rolling and keep it rolling? You, right? We are Christ's ambassadors, right? We are his witnesses to speak about this Christ, and also then to put God's expectations out there before the world as well. And so we do have indeed good news from God. We have it. He knew that we in no way could save ourselves from the attacks of the devil and the claws of eternal death. Since we cannot appease God by our works, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to take our place. He lived the life you and I can only try to think of about living. He died the death you and I deserve to die. And through faith, the saving work of Jesus becomes our very own. It's our ticket to peace with God and lasting happiness in heaven. And so God, help us treasure this good news, this gospel, always knowing that on our own we keep way short of keeping his commands. And so thank him then for the Holy Spirit who works saving faith in these confirmands and also in us through his means of grace. So at this point, we conclude our examination of these three young people. They have learned more than what they revealed today, and we're thankful for that. And so may God keep it in their hearts and their minds and help them and us put it into practice. So at this time, we'll continue with our next hymn. It's on page 9, How Firm a Foundation. There you go. Stand in a straight line. There you go. Good. Dear confirmands, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion. You are here to make a public confession of your Christian faith. The Apostle Paul writes to the Romans, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully answer these questions. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge that in baptism God gives the gifts of forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? Then answer, I do.
Do you reject
the devil along with all his lies and empty promises? Then answer, I do.
Do you believe
in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, I do.
And then I believe in. Do you believe all the books
of the Bible to be the inspired word of God? Then answer, I do.
Do you believe
that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from Luther's small catechism, is faithful and true to the word of God? Then answer, I do.
Do you
intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me.
Do you
intend faithfully to conform all your life to the teachings of God's word, to be faithful in the use of the word and sacrament, and in faith and action, remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as long as you live? If so, answer, I do, and I ask God to help me. Since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends in Christ, to call on him for these confirmands, that he would graciously complete the good work which he has begun in them. And so we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these sons and daughter of yours to the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in giving them both hearts to believe and mouths to confess his saving name. Enable them to bring forth the fruits of faith and to continue steadfast and victorious until the day comes when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people say,
Amen. God, help me through this.
All right, to the confirmants. David Lewis, may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer, of power and strength, of sanctification and the fear of God. Your passage. I think you're familiar with this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3, verse 16. Joan of Voigt. May God the Father who created you, may God the Son who redeemed you, may God the Holy Spirit who sanctified you, keep you faithful unto life everlasting. Your passage. Commit to the Lord whatever you do. And he will establish your plans. Proverbs 16, verse 3. Let maybe finish it for me. Just tease me. Kylie Ross, may God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, give you his Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge, of grace and prayer. Of power and strength. Of sanctification. And the fear of God. Your passage. See, I'm a lover, not a fighter. But I want you to fight when appropriate. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Psalm 37, verses 5 and 6. The Almighty and Merciful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless and keep you. Amen. You may be seated. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. I was testing you. We continue with the sacrament for these three young people. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He given thanks, He broke bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take from it, all of you. This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, too, in remembrance of Me." And so the peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now may this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Go and live in His peace and with joy, for you are at peace with God. Amen. Now you can return to your seats. Please come forward for the distribution of the Lord's Supper. Thank you. We pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
And we also pray.
Our Father in heaven,
hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus make us strong to do his will. May the peace of the Lord Jesus fill our lives. I just couldn't believe my allergies were kicking in at that point in time. I do take it seriously, so gets to me. Sorry. God be with you. He is. Just a few announcements. If you haven't filled out a blue Connect card yet, they're available in the lobby. Please do so, and you can return them in the boxes on the wall as you walk into the church proper by the single doors, or you can place it on the basket there in the table in the lobby. The beautiful quilt hanging on the wall there. The basket's right below that. Appreciate that. The Old Sack Tour is scheduled for Saturday, May 13th. Again, you can see the weekly news for details. If you haven't done so already, I'm not sure if the 2:30 tour is filled up, but check if it's filled up. Try the 2:30 tour first. If not, you're encouraged to do the 2 o'clock tour. Wait for us to get done. If you don't want a tour or you're doing a later tour, just let Ryan and Kaisa Miller know. And we'll wait for you in Old Sac, probably by the Railroad Museum. That's where we'll meet up if you don't want to do the tour or when you're done with the tour. And then we'll get some refreshments and food in Old Sac. So look forward to that. Lutheran Women's Missionary Society is asking for your vote regarding the International Board of Directors and also Home and World Mission Projects. Usually there's two for each, two for home, two for world. Information packets with ballots are under the bulletin board there in the lobby. You'll see LWMS information board there. You're asked to place one ballot in the box provided, and you have till May 21st. Also coming up this coming weekend, Martin Luther College, our pastor training and teacher training school of ministry, is having graduation and call day, assignment day for the teachers. The pastors, as they graduate from MLC, they have to go to Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary for another 4 years of training. But the teachers will be assigned, and we are definitely short of teachers throughout our church body. I mean, God has blessed us with opportunities to teach in the United States and throughout the world, and we're also short of pastors. In fact, the pastor vacancy is like 175 plus. There's different ways we'll try to fill that in the years to come. Same with the teacher. There's more, again, places than we have staff. So a lot to pray about. But if you're interested in streaming the graduation and call day service for Martin Luther College, please go to their website and check it out. A little closer to home, thankfully, we don't need a teacher this year. But in Mount Calvary in Reading is looking for two positions. One, a staff minister of ministry to help them in now their new multi-site. They have acquired Faith in Anderson, so now that Faith in Anderson is Mount Calvary in Anderson. So one ministry, two locations. The person who was going to do that accepted a call to teach at one of our high schools in Wisconsin, and so now they're going to the assignment committee and hoping to get a staff minister to help Pastor Schaefer in that ministry. And then they're also looking for a teacher in their school. So again, a little closer to home. We keep Reading in our prayer, and also everybody, all those graduates, in our prayers. Other than that, wish each and every one of you a great day in the Lord. You'll have an opportunity to offer a word of encouragement to the confirmands. They'll be there in the lobby, and there is cake available, and there's also should be some coffee if you want that, and water in the lobby as well. Help yourself, even if it's on the way out, with a piece of cake. Again, God is with us. God is with you. God is good all the time. Thank you.